Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart and home of over 1,000 interviews where I've done my brow like this and I've leaned in deeply and I've pushed people a little bit too much because I think I take myself very seriously. I take this program very seriously. You know what? If I'm going to do this, I don't want to do one of these half-assed interviews. I want to do a program where you really get to learn something, where at the end of it you go, you know, I think I could change my life or a part of my life because of this interview. That's my goal for every conversation, and I know we're going to get a lot of that in this one. Today's guest was frustrated with the PR work that she did for her clients, so she stopped doing it. Then she created a business that teaches people how to get more attention for their work and build their businesses. I invited her here, not because she's teaching other people and helping them grow, but because of what she's been able to do so fast. What's interesting to me about her is that she seemed to come out of nowhere. She charged premium prices very quickly, and even though she had a small audience, she grew her revenues fast. So I want to learn from her how she did it through online courses, mastermind, and everything else that she did. Today's guest is Selena Sue. She is the founder of S2 Group, which helps coaches and consultants earn more. And this whole conversation is brought to you by my sponsor, theartofcharmpodcast.com. But later on, I'll talk to you about that. Right now, I want to welcome Selena. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I said that you charge premium prices. Your highest price is what?
$24,000.
$24,000. And a more typical price that you charge is?
$3,000.
$3,000. What does someone get for $24,000?
So I have a mastermind program, and It's a year-long program where I coach people who are looking to get more attention, visibility. And oftentimes those clients, they're already successful. So they're making money, which is why they can invest. But now they want to go from being somebody who has this, you know, small audience that really loves them to really reaching more people. So getting on TV, in magazines, book deals, sponsorships.
So you pay them $24,000 and you get them on TV?
Oh, they pay $24,000 and they join my mastermind program. And during that program, it's a coaching program, but there's also events. And so at these events, I bring, you know, magazine editors, TV producers, literary agents. So it's really coaching and strategy, and then also connecting them to people who they meet at the events.
And it's online events or in person?
In person. Yeah.
In person.
We have 3 retreats per year.
Okay, so $24,000 gets them access to 3 retreats. They still fly themselves out. Do they still pay for the hotel? Am I being too petty by asking stuff like this?
Yeah, they do.
They do. They still pay for it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, 24. So that's high end. For $3,000, what does somebody get?
So I have a 6-month group program called Get Known, Get Clients, and that's coming up soon. And it's a super high touch program. You know, every single month there's 3 live calls with me where I do trainings and Q&A, and they get to be a part of this community. And it's really showing them how to go from either making just a little bit of money on the side or nothing to building, you know, a business that brings in, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, even $10,000 a month. So it's a, you know, a high touch group program that's mentoring. It's $3,000, but, you know, it's like people can make that money back pretty quickly as long as they implement what I share.
Interesting. So, by the way, I'm looking at myself in a little video here on the screen on Skype, and I do really lean deeply in, and I'm like, I'm treating this like a Mike Wallace interview, like when he was interviewing the Ayatollah Khomeini. He didn't have this kind of serious face. He was a little more lighthearted. But I take this stuff seriously because, frankly, especially with this, you're doing things the opposite of the way I do them. I charge $25. We have a mutual friend, Ramit, who keeps texting me saying you should be upping your prices. So I'm especially curious about how you're increasing your prices and how you came out of nowhere and were able to build up such an interesting business. Let's go back a little bit and really break this down and understand how you got here and how you charge and what you sell and how you created the product, the whole thing, so that I could and other people who are out there can learn from you and do something to get a little bit closer to your success. Let's talk about this client. When you say you were frustrated, what was it that was frustrating about the clients that you had, and what did you do for them?
Yeah. So, I had a particular client who, you know, obviously I'm really grateful because that was how I got my business started. I started working with her, you know, on retainer. But I think what happens sometimes is when people hire a publicist, they're hoping that they're going to be in Oprah magazine next month, or they're hoping that Marie Forleo will put them on their show, or, you know, some really big person like Tim Ferriss will send out a solo email. And those kind of things, like, honestly, it takes time for those things to happen. And sometimes those things won't happen, you know, if you're not just the right natural.
And what were you charging?
For that, originally when I started my business, I put out like $10,000 a month which, and I had two people who were very interested, but at the last minute, they said yes, and they backed out, because I think it was probably too high from the get-go. And so this one of the clients, I thought it was just going to be a side thing. I charged $4,000 a month. But what ended up happening is that it took up all of my time, and it took up a lot of emotional energy that I actually didn't want more clients. So even though I started with a great reputation in my industry, and people were always asking...
How'd you get a great reputation if this is your first client?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. One thing is that, like, my biggest passion is just, you know, connecting people and promoting people that I really believe in. And so I kind of just would help people for free all the time. If I just spotted an opportunity, I would...
Give me an example. Who would you help for free?
Who would I help for free? Like, you know, Danielle Laporte telling Oprah magazine about her, or, you know, if someone, you know, I know someone is looking for a job, I'll connect them to, like, literally the CEO of a big company, and they get a six-figure job. So that's just kind of what I
see.
Do.
And that's how you were able to build some friendships, some experience. Yeah. And you said, I'm going to start charging for this because I'm getting good at it and it's worth money. And then you had two clients who said, yes, I'd sign up for this. And you said they both backed away.
Yeah, and it was, I was pretty crushed because I was so excited. And at the same time, in retrospect, I realized that was probably not the right pricing to start at. But,
why,
you know,
not?
I
paid $20,000 a month for PR agency. $4,000 seems like a decent price. Why wasn't it the right price?
So $4,000 is great. That's very affordable. $10,000 was what I was charging.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it was just me. But I, I was going to kind of, I just thought that, you know, that was the pricing at the time that I felt like was right. But, you know, with two people saying no, I mean, obviously there could be someone else that said yes, but, you know, I was like willing to adjust it. So I took on this client that was just meant to be kind of a side client, not taking up that much time, but it took up a lot of my time, a lot of my emotional energy. And
request that you would get? I'm spending a little too much time on this. I'll move on in a moment, but okay. What's a typical frustrating request that you'd get or email?
I mean, and I still get it all the time from people who are like, can you, get me an Oprah magazine, or can you connect me to Marie Forleo? People wanting things to happen really quickly, and also asking for things that they're not ready for in their business. I think that also the other question is not just about my contacts or how well I can kind of pitch, but it's also, you know, are you ready for that kind of exposure yet? Have you done something that warrants that kind of really high level attention?
Okay. So I see the frustration. What's interesting to me is, one of the interesting things about you is that you created a focus group for yourself, I see here in my notes. What does that mean that you created a focus group about yourself?
I was just feeling stuck and I didn't know what to do because, you know, I had this premium brand, people were coming to me. And one thing I'll add is, you know, because I was helping people all the time, I had all these great endorsements on my website from day one. So I had Danielle Laporte, Marie Forleo, a bunch of magazine editors from Forbes and Glamour and Oprah all sort of endorsing me. So I had that high-end brand from the beginning. And so people would come to me, but after that one experience, I didn't want any clients. And obviously, you know, how could I really grow my business? And so I organized a focus group and I invited people that I cared about and who I thought were really smart. So they came to this focus group and I just, you know, I kind of shared what my challenges were.
Aren't you embarrassed to invite your friends over and say, here are my challenges, number one, which is embarrassing enough. And number two, help me figure this out?
Not really, because I'm a pretty transparent person. I definitely share with people where I struggle, but I also share my successes. And I think that that's also how I've been able to build really
deep. What's in it for them? Why would I leave my house and come to your house and help you out with your problem when I got like a baby who's got a problem? I got my own problems because I can't get HBO Go to work on my iPad in the back room. You know, like all kinds of, and I got work issues here that I want to deal with. I mean, in all seriousness, why did these people who you asked to come out to help you?
I mean, the thing is I had an existing relationship with each person and, you know, in different ways, I either helped them or was just a great friend to them or, you know, but these are people who liked me, they cared about me and they wanted to see me succeed. So I think that's a part of the reason. And I also made it fun. You know, I organized like a little dinner party for everyone and then we were going to have a focus group. I just let people know how much it meant to me. The first person that I reached out to was my friend Ramit Sethi. And I, you know, he's so busy, so it's not like he can come to all these things. But I said to him that, you know, I'm organizing this focus group because I'm really struggling in this area. I would love for you to be there. You know, and I basically let him know that I was going to plan the date around his schedule. So I'm like, are you free on this date or that date? And, you know, he knew it was important. It wasn't like I was sending a mass email being like, oh, show up and help me with stuff. And so he came, and then I reached out to Derek Halpern, who came, which was amazing. And then my other friends. And then I got this really great group of people who just, you know, gave me some of their time.
And once you get a couple of anchor tenants like them, then other people want to show up. And frankly, you know what? I was saying it because I was saying it in a confrontational sounding way, because that's the way I would hear it in my head. I would go, what? A focus group for you? Why would you do it? Who would even want to come?
Yeah.
But the truth is that if you invited me to one, you've been so nice to me, so considerate, so helpful, so professional, that I would come absolutely to your thing. I also think actually that there's something kind of intriguing about doing the dinner like that. I'll be honest with you. I had Ramit over to my house with a couple of other interviewees.
Okay.
And at one point someone said, let's go around in the room and just share something really personal. And people did. And Ramit did too. But the personal thing that he shared, I think he already blogged about, you know, like he didn't go super deep. He wasn't interested in entertaining us as a group with something private from his life. I could see how having a meaningful conversation that helped somebody at the table might be maybe more meaningful to him or to other people. So beyond just helping you, I can see how it would make for interesting, valuable dinner conversation. All right. Yeah. So you had it all. And then what do these people tell you that changed your life?
I mean, there's a couple of things. One is everyone believed in me. So that was good. Just even knowing that I had that support there. And then one of the things was that, you know, you need to start building your email list. And I didn't, you know, really at the time, I hadn't been building it because I just needed, you know, one client at, you know, X thousand dollars. And then I was good for the month. But I also knew that it was important because I wanted to help more people and do things in different ways. So then actually Ramit said to me, because I was like, I don't really know how to build my list. And then he said, well, you know, who could you talk to that knows more about list building than you? Which frankly was, you know, everyone at the time. And I was just like kind of stumped. And then he said to me, you know, Selena, why haven't you asked me if you can guest post for me? And I mean, I was kind of speechless because I think in the back of my mind, I was thinking, oh, maybe one day I might have that opportunity, but it's such a big thing, you know? So I wasn't saying that I was really going to ask him, but I also think that in that setting when we were kind of like brainstorming, like how do we get Selena in a better situation and grow her business? It was like, he suggested the idea and, you know, so I was really excited. And then he was like, you have to ask me. So I was like, can I guest post for you, Ramit? And he said, no. And I was like, oh, and he said, cause you didn't ask me in the right way. You know, because it's not about me just helping you. It's about you adding value to my audience. So you need to pitch me. And it actually took me like quite a while. It was so uncomfortable. And it made me realize like how difficult it was for me to ask, because I'm someone who I really love to give. And I just give effortlessly and freely. But when it comes to asking for something big like that, it's not always the most natural thing. I can do that for other people, but not always for myself. So I finally asked in the right way. And he said yes. And he gave me that super huge opportunity. And that really changed so many things in my business.
So he told you, and the group told you, grow your mailing list, which is advice that's good for every business pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he said, here's how you can grow your mailing list. Guest post on my site, but make sure you pitch me and keep my audience in mind.
Yeah.
How does that grow your mailing list if you're blogging on a site?
Well, I mean, you know, with the article that I wrote, there was a link to a free gift of mine, and a lot of people signed up for that. And also with Ramit's audience, I mean, these are people who are buyers. You know, they've been trained by him. Like, if they're lazy readers or not action takers, they're going to be kicked off the list or they're going to disappear. So this is like super high quality people who believe in personal development and investing in their businesses and careers. And so, yeah, me being able to share a piece of work, you know, thought leadership, and they see me as that go-to expert, they join my list, and then, you know, people will then sign up for things, or even other people who, you know, weren't even on his list, they just saw it because it was all over social media, and some really top people reached out to me, and it helped me land another client for, that was over $20,000, and that was actually strategy and execution, but it was for a shorter engagement. I think it was 6 months for over $20,000. And I think that her seeing me on Ramit's website and sharing kind of what I do helped seal the deal.
So here's the post, if I have this post right. It was how to get the attention of your favorite expert, new detailed post. And then on the very bottom, is that the one?
Yeah, that's it.
And then on the very bottom, it said, let me scroll back down. I've been clicking all over. It said, Selena Sue is a business strategist and publicity coach for entrepreneurs, experts, and authors. Get her exclusive four-step guide. And it's the name of the guide is How to Get Important People to Notice You for free for I Will Teach Readers. And that's his site's name. And that links over to a page that kind of looks like his. And that's where you collect email addresses. You still do that to this day. In fact, one of the things, was it hard for you to ask me to tell my audience to go check out a URL of yours?
It wasn't easy, but I mean, I'm getting more used to it.
And what you want us to do is, and I'm going to get back to your story, but you said, Andrew, would you please link to s2-group.com/Mixergy? And if people go there, what do they get?
So I have a video and it's called Get VIP Access to Media Influencers and Online Stars. And I share how I built relationships with people from top magazines and online leaders and how people can develop those kind of relationships too to really grow their business in the same way that I did.
Have people come over to their houses and give them feedback like you got. But you know what? I was giving you a hard time before we started because I think this URL is really bad for podcasts. I have to tell my audience S2-. You know, some people don't know what a dash is. They actually type in a slash. I don't think that's true in my audience, but you know, like the horizontal line and the word horizontal are pretty confusing for people, for some. Anyway, S2-group with an E. Why E? Are you British?
No, I couldn't get, you know, honestly, I didn't know what to call my company. And being somebody who doesn't really like to always put myself front and center, I didn't want to call it like Selena Sue Consulting or whatever. So I just wanted something that was like a little bit more anonymous. And I also didn't know, like, am I going to have other people as a part of my company where I don't want it to all be about me? So my initials are, you know, S&S and then group. I couldn't get, you know, just group without an E. I mean, it just, you know, G-R-O-U-P, it wasn't available. And someone else in New York City had that company name. So I just need to think of something different. So I kind of thought, well, group, guilt group has an E on the end and it sounds kind of sophisticated. So why not? I don't necessarily think it's the best name, but, you know, it's good enough and it's worked so far.
Okay. No, I wonder how many people actually go over to this URL and give you their email address. Part of me is reluctant to give URLs like this during an interview because I feel like I'm going to disappoint the guest. It's not a strength that I have where someone in the middle of an interview is going to drop everything and go to a URL and enter their email address. So why emphasize it? The strength that I have is you get tremendous credibility from having done this because, frankly, if you withstand the tidal wave of words that come from me and the eagerness that I have in my interview, then people feel like you're a champ of some sorts. Okay. And so I feel like I should emphasize that. But I'm curious. So I'm going to do it right now. I'll tell people they can go to S2-group.com/Mixergy and they'll get that video that explains how they could connect with experts. How many people did you get from that Ramit Sethi link?
It's grown over time. At this point, I think it's close to 2,000 people.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Not huge, but good.
I think that's pretty. Oh, 2,000
really?
To sign up for my email list?
You know what? We did one thing where we said, get all the Y Combinator interviews on Mixergy. And it took us no time to put the page up and we got 1,000 email addresses. I was pretty disappointed.
Okay.
But maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I should be really happy. That was one day event and all right.
I think that's big.
You know what? That may be the problem with me talking to people who sell their companies for billions of dollars. At the end of the day, I look at 2,000 or 1,000 email addresses and I go, maybe I'm doing something wrong. But meanwhile, you thought I was onto something and you were. So now you have the mailing list. And that still doesn't get us to the $24,000 product.
Sure.
What's the next step that you take that helped you figure out what the product should be?
Yeah. So I worked with a business coach. You know, I realized that my business model wasn't working and that something needed to change. And so this coach, you know, the program was close to $30,000 to be in her mastermind. And she basically said to me, we need to change your model. You need to do more of the strategy work, which you love, and the coaching. And so basically she had me create this program that was a 6-month program. And it was basically $800 a month. So close to $5,000. I remember at the time, you know, she was saying basically do an intensive at the beginning and then 2 30-minute phone calls per month. And I was thinking, wait, someone's paying me $800 for like an hour. I just thought nobody was going to buy it. But the thing is, I just signed up to spend $30,000. So I was like, I'm not going to not take her advice. I'm just going to go all in and do what this person says. And fortunately, because my brand was so strong, people didn't care. They just wanted to work with me. It's like, whatever you're offering, I'm just going to buy it. So I had that package. And I think also, you know, being in her mastermind, I was like, I can create my mastermind too, and it'll be different. It'll be publicity mastermind because I have all these amazing relationships and I want to share them with people. And so I, you know, created my version of it and started off doing a 6-month mastermind. At the time, the 6-month was mastermind was $9,500. So close to $10,000. And then I made it a year. And so I more than doubled it to 24,000, but added some new elements to the mastermind to make it even more, you know, valuable. And that's
so,
how
so it was 15,000 a month and it was 10,000. Then it went to 20. No.
No. So I was charging $800 a month when I was doing private coaching for an hour a month, after the intensive at the beginning. And then I did, my mastermind 6 months and the 6-month program was $9,500.
Sorry, was the intensive your intensive or someone else's?
My intensive. So I would work with someone for a couple of hours in the first session so that we really got to know each other. We had that foundation. And then we would do 2 30-minute calls per month.
Private?
Yes, private.
That was the first product that you offered?
Yeah, that was.
And you knew that you could satisfy people, that you could get them the results they wanted because you'd done publicity before and you could show them what to do.
Exactly.
And then you decided to do a mastermind. What's a mastermind? I tend to think of a mastermind as 5 people meeting on Skype or a Google Hangout and talking every other week. What is it for you?
Yeah. And people use the word mastermind so loosely. So I'm sure there's, you know, different definitions out there. But basically the point of the mastermind is bringing together really smart people who are all going places and really leveraging the collective power of the group. So versus it only being, you know, me and a client speaking, they also have access now to a network of other amazing people who are going places. And then also at the retreats, I bring in guest speakers and they get to connect with all these amazing people. And so when they have a challenge, you know, like with a focus group that I did, they can present it to an audience of really smart people who are all there to brainstorm and help them figure it out. So it's
right from the start, you had this idea that people would meet you in person?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. So that's a lot of commitment that you're taking on. You're saying, I'm going to talk to you over the phone one-on-one. Yeah. We're going to meet in person. I will bring people in who will help us out. And then in these monthly session that you said you do?
We also do a monthly group call.
And a monthly group call, it would just be how many people talking?
Well, on the group calls, those are training calls, but in terms of the live retreats are really where the masterminding tends to happen more, and also in the Facebook group where people are giving each other advice. But the retreats would happen 3 times a year, and then the Facebook group's 24/7.
Interesting. Okay, so that was the initial product.
Yeah.
It sold the first 2 right away because people just wanted to work with you. What kind of person was buying it?
The kind of person who was buying it, they're typically women. Women tend to be drawn to me. And there are people who really believe that the work that they're doing is so important that people need to know about it. And they're not really people who are just like, I just want to be famous for the sake of being famous. Look at me. But I think the people who are drawn to me are people who almost feel like they have a spiritual responsibility to help people. And that, yes, maybe there's someone else who may be a life coach or a health coach or whatever out there, but that they have such a unique way of sharing this information that they need to put themselves out there for like the greater good. So those are the kinds of people who are drawn to me and they, you know, they want to write books and they want to launch, you know, information products and grow an audience and connect with influencers. So those are the people who would come to me.
All right, let me take a breath here.
Okay.
You know, I'll talk about Jordan Harbinger's podcast. How's it feel? I feel like I do have a lot of intensity in this interview. Maybe it's because you and I have done a session together before on Mixergy. Maybe it's because there's so much I want to get from you. Maybe it's because you've just been such a good person to me. I want to make sure to do this as well as possible. But how's it feel on your side?
It's okay. I don't mind. I mean, okay. Well, I mean, I'm a little bit nervous, but it's okay.
All right.
/ excited. No, it's all good. I mean, you know, whenever I tell people I'm going to be on Mixergy, they're like, Andrew's going to ask you how much money you make. And he's going to ask you all these uncomfortable questions. So I kind of knew that was coming. And it's what I signed up for. But, you know, I'm a pretty open book, so it's all good.
Yeah, you are actually. And I will ask you those questions. And you know what? As intense as I am, I feel like Jordan Harbinger might be even more intense. I'm intense within the interviews. He's much more hangouty, you know, like having a good conversation. He's relaxed. He takes a breath every once in a while. But look at this. He sent me this 3-page PDF that he has. Every time someone promotes his podcast, he has these sets of notes that he wants.
Okay.
And he had specifically said, please give me a mid-roll, not a pre-roll, meaning he wanted us to talk about the podcast that he has in the middle of this conversation.
Yeah.
And he's like a sponsor. He's sponsored like a, more of a friendly sponsor.
Yes.
And here's what he says. He says, make sure to tell people it's a highly addictive program in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, like make sure that no one's worried that their that his podcast is going to addict them badly. So you will not get cancer from the artofcharmpodcast.com. He wants me to make sure to give that URL. Okay. The podcast brings together entrepreneurs, artists, thinkers, leaders, and all around interesting people to discuss relationships, attraction, life hacking, and success, as PDF goes on to say. It's a show that's truly about leveling up in life and relationships and friendships at work, at home, everywhere in between. And I, you know what? I have to say this about him. I've had him over to my house for dinner. The guy is a genuine person, which I like. I look at people when we're talking in person. Are they showy in person? Do they feel like they could really be themselves? He really was. And that comes across in his interviews. He has a really good conversation with people and dives in deep. And he goes beyond what I do, which is beyond just entrepreneur conversations. You were on his podcast. What did you think of it?
I mean, it was an amazing experience. I told you a little bit earlier that I didn't realize when I was being interviewed by him that he was recording, because he's just, you know, he's such a, I guess, a charmer. It was so like natural. I was like, I didn't realize, like, whoa, I was like telling him everything. I was like, damn, should have censored some things, but it was all good. But yeah, he's amazing. He's such a great interviewer. And the interesting thing is, you know, because I hadn't heard of Art of the Charm before, and I thought, okay, this is a site for guys who, you know, just want to learn about relationships and also, you know, career. But like everywhere I went, like people were like, oh my gosh, you're on Art of Charm. I went to see my, you know, energy worker, and her receptionist was like, oh, you were on Art of Charm. And she's an actress. And so, yeah, it really has a wide reach. Actually, I didn't realize that so many women actually really love it too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think partially it's because he spends maybe as much time doing promotion for his podcast as he does for on doing the podcast. I don't spend nearly enough time on promotion. I don't have a PDF like this guy does. He's got his act together. There's a lot I could learn from him. And in fact, the reason that he's in here is because he's helping me. And this is my small way of saying thank you, Jordan. And so I'm going to say thank you, Jordan, and to anyone else who wants to see this guy, who apparently your energy worker is listening to right now and guy next door is listening to, go to theartofcharmpodcast.com. He has a special URL for mentions like this, so we can track how many people we're sending over to theartofcharmpodcast.com. And I'm grateful to him for being on here. So it sounds like things were working for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you still wanted to change things up. Why? Why not just stick with it as it was?
You mean with the coaching or with
info? You had your mastermind, you had the live events, you had coaching you were doing over the phone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I knew that I wanted to reach more people. The thing is, you know, I mean, even in my mastermind, it's a very intimate group. There's about, you know, 10 people usually in it at a time. And I was, you know, starting to grow an email list. And a lot of people would email me and they would just say, like, Selena, I want to work with you one day. I'm saving up to work with you. Like, I know for sure that you're the coach for me. And, you know, a lot of these people were kind of where I was, where, you know, starting out and not really knowing what direction to go in. And I just really felt like I wanted to help these people and I wanted to connect with them and that I had something to share with more people. So eventually I moved into creating information products. And it's an interesting story because when I was in the coaching program, well, in the mastermind with my coach at the time, you know, she was saying, you know, focus, like do a $1,000 program and maybe you'll get 10 people in the first time. You'll have to hand sell them over the phone and all this. And, you know, it just didn't, I mean, I started getting ready for that and, you know, working with a copywriter and getting video ready, but I was like, it's not worth it for me to do a 3-month program, make 10 grand. And then I have to spend, excuse me, like 3 months marketing it. So I was just like, it's like half a year for $10,000. Like, it doesn't make sense. And so I kind of put it on the back burner. But then actually Ramit was, you know, working on his course Zero to Launch, and he was inviting some people to be a part of the beta group, and I had to apply. And, you know, thank God I got in, because it really, you know, at first I didn't think I was going to get in. I didn't know if I fit the profile, but I ended up getting accepted. And so in this beta group, you know, I learned his system for helping people create information products. And he's definitely been the biggest influence in my online business. You know, I have to credit a lot of my success to just what I've learned, you know, through his mentorship and teachings. But anyway, so I ended up...
What did he charge you for that? This is he was doing a course on how to create information products. He wanted to have a few people be beta testers by bringing them in and working with them personally. What did he charge for that?
Well, as a beta tester, it's free.
Ah, okay. Because sometimes I think he charges for those kinds of programs too.
I mean, I would have paid anyways. I mean, I bought so many of his products. I've bought... I bought 7 of his products, and then ZTL I got in for free. But yeah, I've spent so much money. But you know, it kind of pales in comparison to the impact it's made in my business. But I basically buy anything of his that I, you know, feel excited about.
I get that. I know there are a lot of people who are like that.
Yeah.
All right. You take his course, you learn from him. How did that change what you were doing?
Yeah. So I tested my idea before launching it. So I created this new program called Get Known, Get Clients. It was a $3,000 program. And instead of charging $1,000, I chose to charge $3,000. And I think my coach at the time and other people thought I would get 10 people in the program. And I got 50 people in the program. So I made $150,000 from that program the very first time launching it. And now I have had other programs that I've launched, and it's been so successful. It's been amazing.
So wait, you're saying you tested it before you launched. That's one of the things that he taught you to do. How did you test? What were you testing? The price or the course?
Well, the idea, you know, so reaching out to people and getting a sense if they would be willing to pay it, not just, you know, putting it out there and hoping that people would shell out the money, but asking them, like, this is what I'm thinking about. Is this something that you would pay? Like, I'm not saying you have to right now, but is this something that you would actually invest in? If someone's like, oh, I would think about it, or maybe, then it's like, okay, that's not, you know, a real answer. But if they're like, oh, absolutely, I would totally, you know, pay money for that.
How do you do that? You actually email your whole list and say, if I do this course, would you sign up for it?
No, I didn't email the whole list. I emailed, I'm trying to remember exactly what I did. I emailed people about, I surveyed people, and then just about, you know, my business as a whole and what they were liking from me. And then I picked some of those people that were really responsive, and I emailed them personally. And I was just saying, you know, hey, I'm thinking about launching a course about X. And actually the course at the time was the networking course I was looking to launch. And, you know, was wondering if you could give me some feedback. And, you know, people said yes. And I was like, I was thinking of, you know, offering this, I'm pricing it at this dollar amount, you know, would you buy this? And some people said, you know, I'd have to think about it. I'm not sure. That's kind of high. And so I kind of put the networking course in the back burner, and I focused on this other idea, which was more well received, around helping people get known as industry leaders and get clients. So that was really successful. And then later down the road, I did the networking course, and that ended up being very successful too, once I got the messaging right.
I see. So what doing his method of charging or asking people if they want it before you build it, what it did for you was it kept you from creating a networking course with bad messaging.
Yes.
What do you say to somebody who listens to that and says, you know what, if she would have done it anyway and played with the messaging, she might have gotten it right. I'm going to create my course first instead of selling something that doesn't exist yet. Because I see that as a common issue.
Oh, really? I mean, I think that's such a bad idea. I think that first you need to make sure that people are going to buy. Otherwise, there's no point of having a course. So that's number one. And, you know, you're really creating something, not just like, you know, the ideas that you want to share, but what do people actually want and are going to invest money and time into learning? And so, I mean, that's definitely step one. And also with the courses I create, I actually create them as I go. So I, you know, put them out there, people buy the program, and then I start creating it. So it's not like it's not done yet when it's, you know, for sale. It happens kind of live.
Okay. So what do you create? You check them out, see if they want it, and then you start selling it? Is that the next step?
Yeah.
All right. How did that sale go for you? The one where you were saying for $3,000, I'm going to show you how to grow your business by building a brand and getting it out there.
Yeah. So for that one, I got 50 people to sign up on the first.
50 people.
Yeah, 5-0.
$3,000 a piece.
Yes.
So $150,000.
Uh-huh.
Before you even fully built it.
I mean, I hadn't built it at all.
You hadn't built it at all. So to say even before you really built it is an exaggeration. It's before you built it.
Yeah, right. Because at the time, I didn't even know what the curriculum was going to be. I mean, I knew like the general idea. It was a 6-month program and there were 12 trainings. So I didn't have time to build out all 12 trainings in advance. But I had an idea like, okay, I'll do something on this and that. So what I did for the marketing is I kind of picked, okay, what are the three core areas I'm going to help people with? And so the core areas were their business strategy, personal branding, and relationship building. Because the thing is, what I found that when I started my own business, okay, I had the personal brand and I had the relationships, but I didn't have the right business strategy. So it didn't matter. I wasn't going to be going anywhere. Other people, they have the business strategy. They're like, okay, I'm going to charge this much and have this kind of program, but they don't have the personal brand to justify premium pricing. And they don't have loyal customers or people who are passionate about learning from them. And so I think you really need all three of those pieces to work together to grow a really successful business. And so I share that with people.
What exactly were they getting? They were getting videos that were teaching them?
So it was live training.
Okay.
So every month there were three calls. Two were, you know, training calls that were typically about an hour, and then there was live Q&A. So there are two like that, and then there was a separate call that was just pure Q&A. So they were on a webinar with me three times a month in the Facebook group with me, and I was always in there, you know, very active, commenting, giving people advice. So it was really like a mentorship program for 6 months. And, you know, there's a lot of information programs out there that are, you know, $2,000 programs, which, you know, some of them are amazing, but they don't have that kind of, you know, high touch where the instructor knows every single person in the program and really cares about their success and is watching them and supporting them. And it's usually not live, and there's no real opportunity for live Q&A. So I think I really, you know, communicated that value. And so the right people were like, I want to be a part of this.
I see. And there was no static no videos that you created ahead of time. It was all in person on a webinar.
Yeah, it was all live.
But they could watch a replay if they missed a session.
Exactly.
How'd you figure out what to put into each module?
I really put in the modules what I needed when I was starting my business. And also what all of my friends need. Like the things that also that I learned in the $30,000 mastermind are things that I put into this 6 month program that they could get for $3,000. And also, you know, when I was coaching people one-on-one, it became really clear to me what were people's stumbling blocks. And I think a mistake that people make, you know, even though I'm all about info products, is that they don't have experience working with people one-on-one. In fact, they're like, oh, it's so hard to get one-on-one clients, so they don't want to pay me, you know, $200 an hour or whatever it is. So let me just create an info product and charge like $19 or $97, and then everyone's going to want to buy it. And that is kind of, you know, a business model headed for disaster, because you're not even in touch with what your clients really need. You haven't solved problems for them yet, and you haven't, you know, built a following. I feel like when you work with people one-on-one and you have these amazing success stories, people care about you, they want to support you, and you start building your base, then you can layer information products, but that's not the first step, I think.
What did you do to develop your base? You had those email addresses, and then I skipped forward to, ta-da, yeah, you have something to sell. But somewhere along the way, you were still in touch with people and building the trust and relationship that you were able to draw on when you had something to sell. How did you do that? What were you sending out to them?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, because I really believe so much in quality over quantity. And so with my the people who are on my email list, I just took really good care of them. You know, when they joined, I had a good nurture sequence that really shared a lot about myself. And I shared a lot of stories, things that were emotional and that kind of create that bond between people, me and the reader. And also, I would encourage them to email me, and I respond to pretty much every email. I mean, up until a couple of months ago, I was literally responding to every single email that was coming into my inbox. And now I respond to maybe like 98% of the emails I get. But people are like, wow, she responded to me. She cares about me. And I write, you know, they're short responses, but they're thoughtful. And so I just take really good care of my people. And, you know, when I think about when people join someone's email list and they're looking to learn from someone, they're not just looking for more information because you can just Google things. They're looking for inspiration. And I think even when people join a program, they're looking to be, they don't realize this, but they're looking for an emotional experience. You know, they're looking for, you know, hope and possibility and solutions. And I think with me, you know, I used to think that this was going to be a huge, what do you call it, liability in my business, that I'm someone who's so sensitive, that I, you know, I feel so much and all of that. Because typically you think people who are really tough, you know, are people who succeed in business. But I think actually my sensitivity is a huge asset. And so, you know, being someone who can intuitively understand how people feel and what they care about and kind of share and connect with them in that emotional way, I think that my audience is just very connected to me and they feel how much I care. And then with my courses, you know, a lot of the time, I mean, I'm teaching, but I'm telling so many stories. It's just story after story. You know, when I put together a webinar or anything, I'm not thinking about, I mean, I am thinking about what am I going to teach, but first I'm thinking about how can I make this super interesting so they just feel like me and them are having a conversation. I'm telling them the coolest stories about my personal, you know, my business and even my life, and they're just being entertained and learning at the same time. So I think that's part of the reason why what I do has been effective and has gotten a good response.
What is this workshop that you did where you felt like you were going to throw up?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that workshop is called Elevate Your Brand. And so I'll back up a little bit and just share with you, and I may have shared this with you before, but not everyone knows this, but I used to be so terrified of public speaking. I really think that, you know, I kind of feel like there was nobody more terrified than me. And I would, you know, like if I had to speak in front of people, you know, in front of a classroom, like my legs would literally shake, my face would go red. I would feel like throwing up, and people would even like, they would feel so bad for me, you know, so embarrassed for me.
And I had that. I was in a law class in high school, and I was supposed to, I was supposed to be the defense attorney or something. And I knew my stuff, but I actually, my mouth got so dry, I couldn't speak. I was shaky.
So you get it.
It's tough. Yeah. So it took me a lot of time to get comfortable on camera here.
Yeah, so that's kind of my background, and I was always like a behind-the-scenes person, and I hated public speaking. I just like supporting visionary people. So, but you know, I started my business in June of 2012, and I just kind of had a feeling, you know, I want to share my knowledge with more people. And at the time, I think it was September or so. So it was a couple months later. I had 150 people on my email list, and I sent them an email and let them know that I was going to be doing an in-person workshop for 2 days. And it was kind of crazy because like I was like nervous enough like talking for 30 seconds in front of people, even if it was just like introduce yourself. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to say? Like, you know, thinking about how I'm going to introduce myself and not listening to anyone else. But yeah, I had those kind of fears. And I was like, at the same time, I put myself out there and I did this 2-day workshop. And I think about 7 people signed up. They paid $600 for this 2-day workshop in my home. And what was cool about that is that I made over $4,000 in those 2 days. And meanwhile, I was, you know, working with a client close to full time, making $4,000 and not happy. So I realized, okay, this is like a way better, you know, way to go. I want to do more coaching and strategy and, you know, eventually work with more groups.
I see. I got this box here just before this interview started here. Let people can see my office address. I'll show it up for anyone who's on video. So this just came in. Let's open it up. I hope that this is what I think. It is what I think it is. Globes. Little tiny ones for this event that I'm going to do because activity for at an event that I'm going to do on April 21st. And partially it's because I don't want people to just watch me speak. I want them to be engaged and interact. And if I say something to be able to experiment, this is for an experiment that I don't want to reveal just yet, but I want them to be able to do an experiment and see if what I'm saying works. And then I thought, this is brilliant, but that's only going to take up 7 minutes of the event. I have 3 hours to fill up.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's a lot of time. I think I could do it, but
yeah.
You have 2 days.
Yeah.
How did you fill up 2 days?
Oh, I don't even, like, let me think back to that time. Yeah, I mean, I remember the week of the event, I was, like, working on the curriculum, and I would keep on, like, I don't know, I would work, and then I would stop, and then I would feel, like, throwing up because I just didn't feel, I felt so... You know, the thing is, like, when you're working with people one-on-one, it's, like, it's easier, right? They say they have a problem, and you just intuitively say, okay, like, this is my idea for you, you know? But to create a course where you have to kind of, you know, sit down and organize your information and prepare it and kind of think of the right order, it is really hard. So, I mean, I think I was kind of crazy in a way, but I just decided to do it, and then people were coming and had given me money, so I had to figure it out. But I did have a friend come over, and I was like, okay, let's like talk it out together, and let's like break down what I'm going to do. So I managed to figure it out, and there were, you know, exercises too, and so it wasn't just that I was talking the whole time. People would break and do an exercise and come back and share with the group. But yes, I did manage to fill up 2 days worth of content, even though I wasn't, you know, really.
How? What's the structure that you have? You know, we do courses on Mixergy, and because we're working with so many different kinds of people, we have a structure that allows us to pull out information and organize it in a way that we can share with our audience. And without that structure, I'd be lost. Well,
yeah.
I don't think I'd be lost, but it would be a lot harder to coordinate with so many different people who I'd never met before. Did you have a structure that allowed you to fill up 3 days?
2 days.
2 days. Did you have a structure? Did you have something you can share with us?
I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't have a structure. I don't know. I was just, I was actually just creating it as I went, you know, like that week, just figuring it out. But now I mean, I have a structure now when I create courses, and it's super in depth in terms of, you know, the market research that I do, from customer research, how people, you know, call, you know, clients or people on my list and ask them certain questions, and we'll gather that information. We do, you know, surveys over email. There's so many things that we do, and we gather so many data points, so much information. I mean, I'm pretty obsessive in terms of making sure that, you know, what I put out there is extremely good. I mean, a sales page, kind of think. I think we worked on the sales page for 2 months, which I know sounds
kind of... Who's we?
Me and my copywriter.
How'd you find a copywriter?
Through friends. Yeah, I usually find people through referral. But, you know, when I work on sales copy, marketing copy, I'm so obsessed about like every single word and just really putting myself in people's shoes. And when I create a course, like so with my Get Known, Get Clients course, that was so basically we would have live training calls every 2 weeks. So we basically I had basically 2 weeks in between each class to create the content. And I would spend most of my week working on that along with my copywriter slash course creator. So we would spend, I mean, between the two of us, a minimum of, you know, 50 hours. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe 100 sometimes.
What about this?
One hour.
It's hard for you to get somebody into Oprah Magazine or whatever they expect to get.
Yeah.
But you're an expert. You can take some time and you could do it and you've done it before. But when you're teaching someone else... They're brand new. It's going to take them longer. They're more eager for it because they're spending money that they worked so hard for and that they're really counting on you. In the back of their heads, they're saying, maybe this is a scam and I got taken, right?
Yeah.
And you have to train this newbie into do something that took you a while and get them enough results soon so that they don't feel that this was a ripoff. What happens when you can't do that fast enough for people?
I mean, it's also, it's setting expectations. I think when I create a course, I always try to put myself in my student's shoes. So I know that there are certain things that are easy for me, but they're very hard for other people. And so one of the first things is like, what are their mindset, like their blocks are to prevent them from being successful. And so really addressing like their objections and concerns, even while they're in the course, because they may have given the money, but they still may think I can't do this. Or they still have certain challenges. So for example, in, you know, Get Known, Get Clients, you know, I really want to build their confidence from day one, because I knew that, you know, by the time we reach the third module, they're going to need to get on the phone and sell their products and services. And that's going to be so scary for people. So I'm like, how can I get them into the habit of reaching out to people? And, you know, we started with market research, and I had them reach out to at least 10 people, get on the phone with them. And I gave them like a list of questions to ask them. So I did a lot of the heavy lifting up front in terms of creating all the questions for them and really getting them set up. And even I would write out all the email scripts that they would use to reach out to people. So everything that I could do, I would do. But
and
then
did they get those results that they came in? They did.
Yeah. So people got, I mean, there was, you know, so many great success stories. There was a massage therapist who was working 6 days a week. Now she's working 4 days a week and she's making like $90,000 as a massage therapist and her life is totally changed. You know, people who are getting amazing corporate clients for their, you know, coaching work. I mean, all sorts of stories. I mean, lots of people doubling their revenue or going from nothing to, you know, now bringing in, you know, $2,000, $5,000, $8,000 a month. So it's been really exciting.
All right. Let's see what's next here in my notes. By the way, the reason I just got distracted and I have to say, let's see what's in my notes. Usually I would have had the next question ready is you mentioned what your sales page looked like. And so I went back and I found a copy of it. It really is well written.
Oh, thanks.
Here's the headline. Yes, it's possible for you to start earning $3,000, $5,000, or $10,000 in monthly revenue, even if you have very few or zero clients, no influential connections, and a small email list. And then you start telling your story. You have photos of yourself with well-known influencers. You talk about some of your success stories. I think there was a woman who, where was that? Anyway, it's a well-written page.
Thank you.
Say the name of your copywriter?
Her name is, well, there's a few I work with, but my main copywriter is Elizabeth Blue.
Elizabeth Blue, is that who did this one?
Yeah, she did this one.
Okay.
And she works with me on all the courses that I create. Yeah.
All right, you're also doing the 10 monthly payment thing, which I didn't realize was such a powerful thing.
Well, now it's 12 monthly payments. So it's 12 monthly payments of $297 or pay in full of basically $3,000. But yeah, I mean, it's real because a lot of people would say to me, you know, like $3,000, that's not in their reach, but $297 a month, is possible. And I truly believe that if somebody is serious about their business and they're all in, they need to invest something. And you can invest $300 a month. And honestly, if they apply any of my strategies, you know, whether it's the relationship building or the personal branding or the sales strategies, I mean, I don't know who can't make an extra $300 a month if they give it their all. So it makes it doable for people.
All right. Fair point. You're using, what is this, shopping? You know what, now I get really distracted by all the details of what you're using for your shopping cart and how you're charging. Actually, it seems like that did it, but then did you double your revenue again? Did I understand that right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had my business for 2.5 years now, and I've, you know, I've doubled my revenue, yeah, each
time. What'd you do to double your revenue?
Let's see. I doubled the prices of my programs is how I doubled my revenue. So actually, one thing that I think would be helpful for people to hear. So when I, you know, did my Elevate Your Brand course, right, that was a $600 2-day event. And I was talking to a friend of mine about this program. And she was like, Selena, you know, and it was because of my reputation, because of the brand I had built. Like, you know, I know people who would pay, you know, $2,000, you know, to just spend some time with you 2 days. And she's like, you really need to double it to at least $1,200. And I said, I don't know how to double the price. And if I double the price, I'd really want to create more value for people. And she told me it's easy. Instead of calling it a 2-day program, call it a 2-month program. And so there's a 2-day intensive, and then you do, you know, a group call every month. You can do like one group call a month, or maybe it was two. I honestly don't remember what I did, but maybe it was every other week. Let's just say it was every other week. So basically I added in 4 additional hours because I was on the call just doing, you know, Q&A for the group of people. And by just adding, whether it was 2 or 4 additional hours, it doubled the perceived value. I mean, it more than doubled. 2 days, now it's a 2-month program. And so, yeah, I did that. And then I doubled it again from, you know, $600 to $1,200 to about $2,500. And, you know, with my private coaching, that started about $5,000 for 6 months. And I doubled that to about, you know, $10,000 with the mastermind format. And then I turned it into a year-long program. And I more than doubled that. You know, well, because it was, you know, double the length. But,
all
right, you know,
all in, how much revenue 2014?
In 2014, $315,000.
Oh, and you started this 2013?
I started coaching, yeah.
Coaching, the year before.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
I feel like you're very confident about your abilities as a person who's a connector, as in your PR abilities, in your teaching abilities, but we didn't invite you to do an interview because you don't feel yet like you are an incredible entrepreneur. Like, even when we asked you, did you feel like you were an entrepreneur from a child? Were you always entrepreneurial? Your response to the producer was, not as a kid, I had a lot of social anxiety.
Yeah.
Which is so different from all the people who have excess swagger who we talk to via email. You know, they'll say, you should interview me. All right, what have you done? I'm going to do something great. Okay. Oh. But so far, what have you done? Right. And they come across, or in the first email, we know to dig in deeper as having done 20 times what you did. And you're just really modest about yourself as an entrepreneur. What do you think of that assessment? I'm looking at you to see if my feedback is landing, if it's right or if it's wrong, and you don't seem to agree.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think that, I mean, I don't know, I am very proud of what I've accomplished, but I also know how hard I worked for it. You know, I really have given it my all. It's not just, you know, magically I made all this money and now I'm sitting on a beach. You know, I do work hard and I really care so much about my clients. But I think that, yeah, the thing is, it's interesting because I am actually very confident. I think that I couldn't move forward if I wasn't confident. But I have like a quiet confidence, not like, look at me, I'm so amazing, because I have my weaknesses and challenges too. But I think that it's a confidence that just comes from knowing that I will do whatever it takes to succeed. And I know
with a really elegant touch. Anyone who's watching the video will get a sense of your personality and your attention to detail by just looking over your shoulder. Right? There's an elegance to the backdrop. There's an attention to the height of the camera. There's an attention to every detail. And I always feel that way about every interaction that I've had with you. You know who has a lot of swagger? Ramit Sethi. I went back to see what his webpage looked like when he first launched, when it was just a blog, and he, I think, was in Stanford. And I posted it on Twitter, and he posted it in this course that you're talking about, the Zero to Launch course, where he taught people how to build courses.
Yeah.
To me, the point he was making with that was, look at how basic my site was when I launched. The point I got when I looked at that old page is, he's already telling people on like his third post what to do with such authority and assertiveness that you think that he'd already been in Fortune magazine. You think he'd already built this business. No, he just had this WordPress site. But yeah. It helps.
But no, but I mean, the thing is, his stuff is amazing. It's one thing to have a lot of swagger and not be able to help people. But, you know, I really
He lives up to it. Yeah, and he's also another person who I know if I email him right now, he will respond probably in an hour and not a virtual assistant. He has teams of people who help him, but he will respond because he's obsessive.
But one thing I want to share, just you brought up the detail-orientedness. Yeah. I think that's important because I think that's people don't see what's happening behind the scenes. But, you know, in terms of my interview with you, I mean, you know, one, you're detail oriented. So that's why, you know, I did that pre-interview with, you know, April on your team. I was working with my copywriter today, like working on, you know, the different stories I could tell, like key takeaways. You know, I had my personal assistant come over and we went through your instructions and we set up the lighting and everything perfectly. I got my hair and makeup done. I was like, why not? So, I mean, I set aside, you know, quite a number of hours getting ready for this interview. And I kind of do that for everything. I think, you know, some people will put in like 2 hours into something. I'll put in 10 hours, you know? And so I think that, and I'm not somebody who like also sends a million emails or I'm doing a million things, but when I do something, I do it thoughtfully and intentionally. And I think that, you know, because now my business is more of, you know, it's growing to be an information product business. I think there's a lot of people who really feel like quantity is so important. So they're sending the stuff out and it's not even that good. And I think that when you send low quality content, you're training your readers to expect the next thing to be, you know, at that level. And so I really, you know, put a lot of intention into every single thing I do. Everything is super high touch. And actually, another thing I'll share is with my influence course, this is my networking course. At the end of the course, I let some people know about, you know, that I was opening up Get Known, Get Clients Early, just one night only for those people. And, you know, people, you know, signed up. And what I did is for the people that signed up that night is I made a voice memo for them. I just, you know, I was in my room and I was, you know, thinking about each person and reading their questionnaires. So they fill out questionnaires when they join the program. And I would just say things like, you know, hi, Mike, I just wanted to make this quick voice memo for you. You know, I'm so excited to have you in this program. You know, I was just rereading your questionnaire and, you know, thinking about the work you're doing. And I'm so excited to be able to help you in this way. And I made those voice memos like personalized for every single person. And yeah, there are people who like flipped out when they couldn't believe I took the time and energy to do that. And so that's just how I do everything. And it makes a big impact.
That's one of the most inspiring parts about doing this job, that I get to see the behind the scenes stuff like that, that that comes across in the way that you do business. I was just doing an interview with a guy just an hour or so before you, Ami, the founder of, I always mispronounce his company name. It's Andisha. He does this postage business. Something like 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 packages that you get from the USPS use his stamp system on it. And he sold his business to what's that name of the company? I forget the name of the company right now. The Rubbermaid people, I think. Anyway, what stood out for me is his assistant made sure that the details of the interview were taken care of because that's the kind of person that he is. Nobody would have known it unless I called it out within the interview that she wanted to make sure that I even understood that the cookies weren't, that he would give out and his company would give out to potential clients were homemade, but he didn't make it. It was his co-founder who made it. They made sure that the time was going to be right. They made sure that this and that and all that. And I've now noticed this about 1,000 times with people who are top producers. It's amazing to see that. It's inspiring. It's the stuff that nobody will know within the Mixergy interview, except they'll see that there's a quality guest there.
Right.
But it's just who they are. It's their makeup. It's amazing. All right. I think I've got, you know what? There's one other thing I want to ask about. This mastermind thing. And this is a personal question. The whole part of this interview is me trying to get to know you because I want to learn from you, but also for the audience.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm going to talk to someone later this week about potentially doing masterminds for Mixergy. I don't think like you. My way of thinking is, how do we get as many people in the Mixergy audience to group up into masterminds and help as many people as possible? And I'm not going to charge anything extra for it. And I'll just allow them to get together and maybe create a forum where everyone who organizes a mastermind within Mixergy will be able to come in and get support from other people who are hosting masterminds. But you don't think that way. In fact, talking to you makes me think I should do it a different way. That's what?
Yeah, that was such a bad idea. No, we need to talk. I mean, I think that also if people don't have to pay for it, they're not going to take it as seriously. And I think there's just a better way to do it, you know, than just having it kind of be loose and stuff and people just kind of figure it out. Like, they need you to be their leader. There needs to be, I mean, I just think there needs to be some structure. And I think that you should charge for the kind of value you're creating. So me and you should brainstorm. I'm happy to give you any, you know, all my ideas, but yeah.
Interesting. What's one thing? So the one thing you tell me is, Andrew, don't just give it away. Just because my idea was, how do we get everyone in the audience who wants to be a part of a mastermind to be in a mastermind? We'll group them up into five people, and you're saying don't. What's another suggestion that you have for me for doing it right?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm not even thinking about the structure, is the sales piece, because you really need to build that really strong burning desire that they're like, oh my gosh, I need to be in a Mixergy mastermind. Wow, I can see how this would change my life. You know, am I going to get selected? Is there an opportunity for me to sign up? And there's all this kind of pent up passion. And then the way that they release that passion is they get to purchase something, and then they're going to take it more seriously. You know, but it's just like, oh, hey guys, you know, one email, we're doing this thing. You're welcome to join. It's free. Hooray. It's kind of like people are not going to take it seriously. So you really need to get people to step up.
Interesting. All right. Fair point. Boy, and we were just going to have a conversation on Thursday, me and someone else was going to help me do it, about all the work we were going to do to make sure that they were all connected properly.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to give you a URL. I'm going to give the URL of the page that you want to hand out as the landing page. I'm so curious about how well this will do. The URL is letter S, the number 2. I should have said that earlier. I probably said S2 and people are typing in TWO. No, it's the number 2. S2-group.com, GROUPE.com/Mixergy. Right? Did I say that right?
That's right.
Is that the best way to promote it?
That is. Thank you.
No, we should say something like, you know what we should do? We should mention something weird about this page that would make people really want to go see it. There's nothing weird about this page that would make people want to see it. What did you build this page in? Maybe that's something that would make me want to go check it out. It's just a WordPress page. That's it. All right. Go sign up. See what her sales process is like. You've learned about this product and this business. I always like to sign up so that I could see how it actually unfolds. Selena, you're about to sell this course again?
Yes.
All right. Yep. That's one reason why I would sign up. I'm actually going to go in right now.
Oh my gosh, I'm so honored, Andrew.
I'm probably on the list already, but I want to see when you start warming up your audience what that sounds like. I want to see what your interaction is like. I want to see, even the confirmation page I like. Everything is very personalized.
Yeah.
Personal.
And I do some pretty creative things in my email sequences, so you'll see. I talk about some personal things, even like ex-boyfriends and things like that, but yeah, you'll like it.
All right, I dig it. Thank you so much for being on here. Everyone who's out there, please, this is my opportunity to thank you all for being a part of the Mixergy community, really. I love doing this, and I love the email that I get from everyone, and I love that I get to have guests like you, Selena, on Mixergy. Thank you for doing this interview, and thank you all for being a part of Mixergy. Bye.